When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 879. I am Brian Kilby. Radio Free Cybertron is the world's first and oldest toy and action figure podcast since 1999. I am old and tired at this point. Speaking of old and tired, we have Don.
Thanks, Brian.
We're appreciate all old it. And tired, Don.
Yeah, but I'm older. I'm older and tireder.
We're all getting there soon. Speaking of old and tired, Diecast.
In another hotel room.
Fit as a fiddle, though. Maybe not tired. Almost as old as I am, John DeLuna.
Yo, I have two young kids, so I feel 10,000 years old.
Having kids at our age is hard. I understand why people do it in their 20s now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're laughing at us right now.
Yeah. Matt's
not. Yeah, because their kids are 21 by now.
Yeah. Matt doesn't have kids. He's laughing
Thank
at us.
Thank God.
Also, Chris, Rob, no kids.
But old, tired, and in pain the time.
You know what? We're going to start off the show this week with a hopefully bright spot. Don is going to give us a review of the Transformers themed episode of The Masked Singer.
It wasn't very much fun.
Oh, Don, I'm sorry. What happened?
Well, the songs were mostly from Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh,
that's what I told Christy. There was a one or two from Dark of the Moon. There was an older classic 60s song that was used in one of the movies. But it was the actual mix of themes. The background music used was G1. The Optimus Prime and Bumblebee were Rise of the Beasts. And all of the music was from Bayverse movies.
That sounds really picky, Don.
If you look at it from a celebration of the franchise, yes, they were using three different parts of the franchise. If you look at it from a cohesive standpoint, it drove me crazy hearing.
Oh, just like the live action movies.
Yeah. The G1 openings, the G1 opening theme as background music from the movies. And here's the thing. There wasn't even any Linkin Park sang. And that's kind of a low bar, I would think, on a singing competition dealing with Transformers. Linkin Park should at least show up once.
I was in my 20s. I just turned 30. I was still 20. I was in my 20s I was 30 when this movie came out. I wasn't old, but I'm looking through the soundtrack of Revenge of the Fallen, and I have never heard any of these songs. I heard them all over the cacophony of that horrible movie when I was watching it, but I couldn't tell you a single song on this.
I don't even remember being songs in any of those movies. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't expecting a reprise of the 86 soundtrack. I was thinking if they did anything, they might have gotten the rights to The Touch. They might have gotten the right to...
Dan Bush will give that to them.
I was expecting the Touch to at least be in there.
Something like, there was nothing from the 86 movie soundtrack at all. So yeah, I had very low hopes, but I was enjoying the thought.
Yeah,
but when it actually was done, I said, "I'm deleting this."
I would say more people have heard the Touch in Boogie Nights than ever heard it in Transformers the movie. I don't know that people think of that as a Transformers song.
So I wonder what the proportion is between people who've heard The Touch in Transformers versus people who heard it in Rock Band? No. A different video game. Saints Row 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, more people heard it than that.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But man, just thinking about it, like, you know, even with the Boogie Nights collection, you had a perfect opportunity there to put Mark Wahlberg in a disguise to sing that.
Yes. That's true.
Like, you could have just tied the whole thing together that way.
Could we just have tied up Mark Wahlberg instead?
Yeah. Also viable.
Done a service to everyone.
But Don, I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sad when you go in not expecting much and can't even get that.
It's like that Malcolm in the Middle clip where it's Dewey's birthday and like his dialogue is, I expected nothing and somehow I'm still disappointed.
Yeah.
Malcolm in the Middle was such a good show.
Yeah. Okay. So according to CinemaCon, we're getting a Transformers G.I. Joe movie crossover with Steven Spielberg executive producing.
They should have done this in 2007.
Yeah, it's a little late for this.
Considering, you know, it was the Transformers movie with a whole bunch of military people in it. It probably should have been done, 17 years ago?
They should, at least, like, Dark of the Moon should have been the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie. Because, like, that was the height of, you know, military involvement in the live-action movies. Especially since, like, that was also when they were, like, big-time pushing in the toiling the Human Alliance stuff. Like, they were really driving home the whole Transformers and military people working together thing, you know, the whole way through. Like, that would have been the ideal time. And they had the live-action G.I. Joe movie come out, like, the 2 years before that, I think. I think that came out right after Revenge of the Fallen. Wasn't great, but I mean, you know, it was a thing. It had live action G.I. Joe in people's consciousness as an idea. They could have rolled those two things together and still had a really bad movie, but at least they would have tried.
Hey, at least they're doing it now. I'm excited for it. I'm
not excited for anything anymore, Diecast.
I'm not excited for anything until I see it. And retroactively, am I excited?
Because my expectation here is expecting nothing, but I will still somehow be disappointed.
it's like me with Rise of the Beasts. I went in expecting nothing, and I rather enjoyed it.
I'm about the same. I finally watched that this last week.
And yeah, good. I think that means out of those of us who might potentially watch it someday, I am actually the last one now.
Yeah.
But no, I liked it. It was novel to put the character of Optimus Prime in a movie, so just and yeah. I actually, you know, like, everyone in it was actually sympathetic, from the humans up to the robots, and that
it's okay, it's not great.
Yeah,
it's probably the best Transformers movie.
Yeah, so, grading on that curve, it's pretty great, you know, compared to like anything else with, like, you know, writers and structure. I don't know.
Jacob says, I'm sure there are 10 people somewhere excited about a G.I. Joe Transformers movie.
I'm excited.
I would be very happy if there was a, like, sequel to the last G.I. Joe movie. Not Snake Eyes, but whatever.
Retaliation.
Yeah. Retaliation. I enjoyed that.
Retaliation wasn't a great movie, but it was at least fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, I felt the same about Rise of Cobra, frankly. It wasn't,
I couldn't sit through Rise of Cobra.
I hated Rise of Cobra.
I don't know that it was a good G.I. Joe movie, but it was an okay movie.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to enjoy Rise of Cobra because I didn't and still really don't care that much about G.I. Joe. Like, it was neat to see the basic ideas of G.I. Joe played with in a weird way. And it was certainly, like, kept my attention focused because they kept, you know, things kept happening. It was paced pretty well. No, it's not a good G.I. Joe movie, but it was a perfectly serviceable action movie with, you know, a toy line attached to it. Like, I was not upset that I spent the money to go and see that and probably also bought a thing of popcorn to eat while I was watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, if it means that we'll get, like, more and like, better, like, G.I. Joe Transformers crossover figures, whatever we call them, collaboration, like, I would be for it. Like, designed by the actual Transformers team. I would, there might be something to that, but.
And see, what I would hope from this, for a toy line geared around this, would be basically just the revival of Human Alliance. You know, little human minifigures that are posable and can interact with normally sized and designed Transformers toys.
I'm fine with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more like Mask scaled, but more not it's still smaller than Mask scaled, but
yeah.
Figures anyway. Toys are about the same. Okay. Lorenzo de Bonaventura will continue to say things with a Paramount contract extended. Okay.
Yep. So look forward to that for, you know, probably the next 5 to 7 years. It's almost like a prison sentence when you say it like that.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm.
yeah.
So a prison sentence for everyone else.
So
that's what I meant.
Yes.
So his role is he's the primary producer of the film. So like I guess when you look at how somebody is listed on the credits, he would be producer.
Yeah.
Like executive producer is usually somebody who throws in a buck or something. Producer is the one with the power.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah.
It's also sometimes a bone they throw to like a preferred actor that they need a little bit more incentive to. They'll sometimes get listed as executive producers.
Yeah, executive producer is more a figurehead.
It's a ceremonial. It's a ceremonial title than a functional one, yeah, usually.
Producer, director are the two heavies on a film, typically.
Yeah. Yeah, Steven Spielberg as executive producer for the G.I. Joe crossover movie, for instance, that might be a money thing. It might also be he's contributing his resources, his filmmaking resources toward it.
Or he put $5 into a Kickstarter.
Or he might walk on set one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did show up at the, Rob, at the Universal Studios, the Transformers the Ride thing.
Yeah. The photos I took are, I'm pretty sure, still up on tformers.com if you want to see them. My favorite thing about that, though, is like the only photo I got in which Spielberg is not smiling is the one where he's looking directly at me.
Yeah.
It's great.
He was, what, about 20 feet from us? He's pretty close. Yeah.
That was the event you got burned at, right?
My shirt got burned. That poor...
I put a hole in my shirt, but I was undamaged.
Yeah, put a hole in my shirt. Somebody beside of us got... like a cinder in her eye from the exploding fire, the fireworks that exploded way too low. Yeah, not fun. Transformers 1 logo revealed, and it says Transformers 1.
Yeah.
Exciting.
It tells us nothing. It's literally the most boring thing.
Yeah, strap in for another like 4 months of this, everybody.
Is there anything we can infer from it? Like,
well, there's Transformers. And there's the number one.
There's like, if you think of like what the surface of the golden disc sort of might look like.
I suspect this is more like the golden age of Cybertron kind of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the time period they're going for.
Oh, yeah. Well. The only thing I'm inferring from this is being grateful that I am not currently doing news at tformers.com, so I do not have to come up with something to say about this every time a tiny little dribble of movie related news comes out, because my god, that is tedious to have to do.
I definitely don't miss that.
Yeah,
for people out there who run sites and have to do the grind of writing stories,
Respect to you for being able to keep doing that year after year, movie cycle after movie cycle. Like, it's a grind.
Yeah.
It's soul-sucking.
Hey,
kind is.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this is. I'm going to read this as Chris wrote it. Transformers 1 trailer to be shot into space.
Yeah, I don't exactly understand this either, except that literally...
Wait, that's not a joke? That's not you being clever?
It is not a joke.
No, somehow they're going to... launch a device 125,000 feet up, and once it hits its apogee, it's going to play the Transformers 1 trailer, and it's going to somehow be streamed to the internet from space. Like I've read the copy here, and I still don't really understand what they're actually trying to accomplish here or how this is going to actually work.
So it's not going to Cybertron?
Well, I mean, unless it's the ultimate doom and Cybertron has been warped into Earth orbit, no.
That almost happened in, like, the live-action movie.
Yeah, it was easily lifted.
Yeah, they absolutely stole that plot point, space bridge and all.
I just hope this all goes smoothly, because there is so much possibility for comedy here if it doesn't, and...
That's what I was going to say, it'll be so much funnier if it doesn't go smoothly.
If the Transformers 1 trailer just explodes on the launch pad, like, what's their contingency plan?
I hope not. there's like a speech that Nixon has prepared to talk about how the trailer gave its life for the future. We have photos of the Transformers 1 merchandise, including the popcorn bucket cup. What looks to me like cup toppers or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And some kind of little figurine things.
Yeah, it... that's what I'm saying is like the cup. If you go to like a movie theater, often it's like modular. They have like the lid of the cup and a little indention on it. You can just pop different figures onto. That's what I think those are.
Okay.
Like the bucket is a better angle of what we saw last week. I mean, it's a little chunky. I don't hate it.
I mean, that's probably just for bucket purposes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
Oh, hey, there's photos of Studio Series Deluxe Prime in the comments.
Is there?
There is.
It looks horrible. I don't like the popcorn bucket. It probably throws the proportions off, and it doesn't even look like a good popcorn bucket.
Where do these Studio Series photos come from?
Well, this says Studio Series Deluxe Transformers 1 Optimus Prime from a store, but I don't want them to get in trouble for making a listing available too early. So the person who posted this is not sharing what the source is out of concern for, you know, some retailer that accidentally put a listing up before they should. That was not there when I wrote the show notes.
Yeah, so looking at it, he has these weird lines on it that is like 1980s hospital interior sort of decor.
The ones on the pelvis? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It just looks
overall, though, this I don't know, I kind of like it. It's more Cybertron-y than Siege Optimus.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's the far leap.
It's probably the photo, but it looks very re-yellowed.
That's a lot of beige.
Yeah, shade of gray.
It's probably a warm gray, and the lighting is probably not helping that.
No, I think Brian's right. They're instead of allowing it to naturally yellow, they're just coming out with yellow plastic for synergy.
To me, it looks beige, like Don said. It looks like my 1998, Hewlett Packard or whatever.
Yeah.
Looks like the interior to our 1984 Jeep Cherokee.
Oh, yeah.
The thing I keep looking at, other than the sea of massive beige, is the two little red wheels on the shoulders. That's his rolling wheels for vehicle mode.
One thing I like about it is that the chest is pretty clearly the cab of the truck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I appreciate that.
And I think actually... I was thinking the line parts on the pelvis were actually the same part that are used in, well, they might be. That might just all turn around.
It does look like they're sticking out behind the cab.
Yeah, it looks like it's sticking out behind the cab to me as well.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a Studio Series figure to me.
I'm gonna have to see it in person. I'm hoping that the gray on the final toy is a little less warm, just because I don't mind that color per se, but the fact that it does not match any of the gray or silver painted on Prime's face does kind of bug me.
So what about the shape of his head?
It looks like a young Optimus Prime. That's kind of the... I guess technically this might be Orion Pax anyway.
Could be. I think,
he's supposed to be Pax in the movie and become Optimus Prime later. This could end up being mainline rather than being Studio Series. Diecast might be right about that. And
what's the difference?
Sometimes like $5.
Oh, you're talking about it not being like Legacy. You're talking about the branded line.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally buy that.
Yeah. For a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar. I don't know I would buy this for a dollar.
I could see it being Studio Series just because I do see, the requisite ankle tilts, but that's about it.
I don't hate it. I just don't need it.
I'd love to see it in person. And like I said, I'm just hoping for a better match on that face to that body.
It's true about the ankle tilt, but like even the Earthspark Deluxes, as much as possible, are even getting ankle tilt. Like that's just kind of becoming a standard thing in, like Deluxe and up, whether it's a, quote unquote collector's line or the main line stuff.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it in person. Likely won't buy it, but
yeah. I mean, I think this looks totally nice. I mean, if I can get this for around $20, I might grab it, because it's at least It's clearly Optimus Prime, but they have tried to iterate some on the idea of what Optimus Prime looks like.
It's much better than, say, Siege Cybertron Optimus Prime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
it is I was just going to say, yeah, it is not like a 1970s, you know, big rig with eyebrows. So that is an improvement.
And this looks like a lot more fun toy to actually mess with than like the old War for Cybertron Optimus.
I just really want to get to the point, and it's never going to happen, where they're never going to ask me to buy another Optimus Prime again.
No, it's not. It's not going to happen.
Never going to happen.
You know, we talked about this when the rumor Commander class was talked about, how we thought Earthrise was hopefully the last Optimus we would have to buy for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, Don.
It's been a couple of years.
That was like three toy lines ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Reactivate Optimus is very nice.
Yeah,
it is. But, you know, Missing Link is like couple of tiny shades off of perfect. I'd still rather have the trailer function like the original trailer than the few tiny minor changes they made to it for all that matters.
Okay. But
you know, that Commander, I'm just hoping it's not just like straight up the Earthrise figure with a slightly larger trailer. I hope they've made some other changes too.
Yeah,
you know, just don't want like a repeat of Studio Series Blaster, to be honest.
Yeah. True. Okay, so the next Robosyn is Megatron. I can't wait to see how they do this.
It's going to be a tank.
Yeah, because it's a flagship toy, which is the transforming ones. As far as I know, nobody's pulled out an FCC compliance document that, you know, shows it to us early. I want to be a submarine. But it has to have like powerful gyroscopes in it that prevent you from turning it upside down.
Oh, that'd be genius. I love that. Oh God. It's it'll probably be a tank if it's something else. Oh, so the people who would buy this, the non-Transformers nerds, because I would say most people buying this are probably very well to do people who have nostalgia for Transformers but aren't the hardcores. Do you think they are good with a Megatron tank?
Some will be. Some will not. I think it limits who's going to buy it. I mean, some people will buy it just because it's a Megatron to go with their Optimus Prime that they already have. And then there's going to be other people that be like, if it's not a gun, I don't need it.
Yeah, the potential problem there is the people who were going to buy this are already limited.
Yeah, that's true. The gimmick is that it transforms.
Mm-hmm.
So these people would want it to transform into a gun. The only Megatron that I will gladly display in tank mode is G2 Megatron.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I typically don't transform like any of my more modern generations Megatrons in the gun mode. I just kind of keep them in robot mode, and that's how I display them because it looks like Megatron.
The thing is, I think for this application, being a tank is actually advantageous because, like, you get your transforming Megatron robot that can, you know, do a hula dance and whatnot as a robot, but also you have a motorized tank that you can drive around and antagonize cats with.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like
may or may not have like a foam ball shooting tank turret or something. That'd be
great,
like, right? So, exactly. Like,
I am not,
or at least a laser pointer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, laser. Yeah. That'd be good too. I'm not complaining that it's not a gun because I don't care. I'm not buying it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like it's a miscalculation. It just seems like it's a miscalculation to some extent to even attempt it, just because I think it limits the audience who would want it.
I would really love to see them do like Prowl, Blue Streak, and Smokescreen as the flagship robots.
Yeah, do something you could repaint.
Well, I thought
they would have done Bumblebee as
Volkswagen license.
I mean, the Volkswagen license doesn't seem to be that much of a problem anymore. I would really love to see the Datsuns done because, like, that seems like something that'd be like an easy throw for them because, like, the classic Datsun transformation is just a, you know, set yourself upright and fold the hood down. Like, it's a comparatively much simpler thing than, say, doing Grimlock.
I don't think I would buy it, but I think the one that I would want, there are two that I would be really, I mean, I was tempted by Grimlock, but not for the price. I would be tempted by a Soundwave or a Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm.
like Hot Rod with the Studio Series transformation.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I think that would be achievable.
Yeah. Maybe.
The thing is, you were talking about how that would be like a Roomba. Now I'm picturing a lot of pictures of people with cats, with their cat sitting on top of the Megatron riding it around.
Oh, that would be great.
If it was a vacuum, I would actually really consider buying it.
Well, I mean, they did the SNES and the Genesis Transformers, you know.
They were horrible. If they did a Transformers Roomba, it would still have to work as a Roomba.
Yeah,
I think you'd have to do Cosmos for that.
The Megatron was so awful, I didn't buy it. I mean, the Megatron was so awful.
A Transformers Roomba crossover.
Yeah, the Megatron
turns into Mega Maid from Spaceballs.
The Megatron was so awful that I didn't buy the Optimus. But the Megatron is the size of like a deck of cards. It's very small. Like, I would like an actual Roomba size that would like transform and crap. That would be wonderful.
Now, see, now I just want to get like Mega Drive Megatron, the Genesis Mini, and a full size Genesis to line up on the shelf.
They're not far off from the same size.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. In hand photos of Commander Class Magmatron.
This is good with their size comparisons with original Magmatron. It also proves that Commander Magmatron looks a lot nicer than the old one and seems to only just be missing some painted detail from the hands as far as like representing what the original toy was doing. Like the original Magmatron toy had the weird like open-ish sculpted hands. They weren't really like 5mm peg compatible, so they were able to have like the detailed claws and everything. This seems to more be going for either the posable or just closed 5mm hands for more compatibility, but like aside from that little detail, like this is looking so much nicer than that original toy.
How many times do we get something, a new take on an old toy like this that's larger?
Very seldom.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. I can't think of an example off the top of my head. I know they happen. Like,
right,
like mini bots, obviously. Like Gears is bigger than the original toy, but
do we want to count
your Titan glasses?
Yeah, Titan, yeah. That's fair, yeah.
Titans, most of the combiners.
Yeah. It just seems lately, when we revisit a character like Megatron from Armada, or Energon Optimus, Cybertron Optimus Prime, any of these characters, they're smaller, even though they're at a higher price point.
Yeah.
And he is substantially larger than Magnetron, which Magnetron wasn't released in the U.S. He didn't have a U.S. price point. I don't even know, like, in Japan, well, what the price point would have been.
I mean, it did get released in the U.S. later, Target
exclusive,
and you know, it was $19.99 or $21.99, whatever Ultra at the time cost.
Yeah. Damn, yeah.
I believe they tweaked some of the dimensions on the reptilian modes too to make them a little more air quotes scientifically accurate.
Yeah, probably no feathers though.
No, I mean like the Elasmosaurus's neck and is of a more appropriate length.
No, but I mean all the pieces, the whole combined mode, it all looks really good.
Yeah.
Like I can't see myself buying this at full price, but it is something I would definitely consider.
I'm approaching it. I am close.
They haven't made a bad Commander Class yet.
No.
No, the worst they might have done is just make like an indifferent Commander Class, which is still, you know, pretty okay.
Which ones?
Even the indifferent ones are good toys. I mean,
yeah.
Jetfire?
Oh no. I still say Rodimus is the worst one, and it's still really, really good. It's just mostly trailer.
Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Oh, speaking of Commander Class, they're reissuing Commander Class Jetfire.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah. That went up this week.
Yeah,
I really wish they would have changed the paint masking on that though.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, this is the second reissue of the toy, and I guarantee you that they're probably not going to do another Shattered Glass version, despite the fact that Shattered Glass aftermarket is well over $200 and up.
So, speaking of that, though, they're also alongside this reissuing the Shattered Glass Optimus and Ratchet 2-pack.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
Hey, just want to say real quick, hey, if you're listening and you're throwing out examples where the toy is, you know, larger now than the toys that you know we got in the past, you're not alone. Go to tfradio.net/discord during the show and you can correct me in real time.
Yeah.
So like the best example I saw was Skywings. I think Skywings is a hair larger, the Commander Class, in the original toy. I have never put them side by side, but
And Manny Carrot's example of Legacy Motor Master is also a really good one.
Great too. Example. That's a great bigger example.
And a vastly better toy than that the original. Would
be much better, yeah. So yeah, tfradio.net/discord. Okay. Legacy.
You too can correct Brian Kilby.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't even have to be a patron to do it.
No, it's, anybody can do it. It's free. Legacy Squeeze Play on Mark's Instagram. I love the face.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love the face.
I like the figure. It's got, you know, it's got its own gray issues to it, but it's looking good otherwise.
Yeah. I like how they put it standing next to Fangree, but the only way they could get Fangree to stand is to put him in, leave him in the box.
Okay. That's Mark's personal four pack, and he said in the Instagram post he could never bring himself to open that pack. He just liked it as a display piece too much.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Fangree is at best when it's a packaged sample. That is true.
Mine stands just fine. I mean, I don't want to like go up and tap him or anything, but just standing there, he's fine.
Yeah. No. If you rotate the legs just slightly so that the knees are, you know, facing in toward each other just a little bit, like, it will overcome its own weight and be able to stand there just fine. Otherwise, you need to, like, you know, floor polish the knee joints or something, which is kind of tedious because they're pinned. So we were talking in the Discord this morning about Squeeze Play's gray, tan, whatever color. So the G1 toy had gray as a secondary color. Like, the limb parts were gray. This is very much khaki for those same parts. And some of the khaki parts are getting a bit more olive. So it looks like they're basing these colors on Master Force's animation model, where those parts were khaki. And I'm pretty sure the paint that they applied to the claws and the forearms probably is actually pretty close to the plastic parts we can see there. Unfortunately, they have painted that over a very strong shade of blue and a strong shade of purple, and in both cases that is causing a rather unfortunate tinging of that paint color over toward that green end. So it's probably not looking quite as nice as anybody was really hoping, and the bare plastic parts in that color are probably closer to the intent, but I imagine even that is probably a little bit off because that's all the nylon parts, and nylon reproduces colors always to a more dull finish than like ABS would. So, like, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle here, but yeah, that olive-ish color is probably not what they intended. And like, Mark probably has an early sample of this. Maybe some correction could be done to the particulars of the deco, but like, I'm not sure what they could really do to actually stop that from tinting toward green, especially on those blue parts, without just putting like two or three coats of paint over that, which is probably not in the budget even for the four pack.
I will say it's a very small minor thing, but I love the fact he comes with browning.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
You know,
that, yeah. Who is also the wrong color.
Yeah. But it just shows you're that
more silvering, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just shows this team is trying to give us all they can within their budget allotments. Cause it could have just been just another repurposed gun, but they made it a point to give us browning. So I thought that was nice.
Yeah. They added that into the sprue of new parts. That's like, it's this purple sprue on Squeeze Play. So no, Browning's toy in Master Force was silver. In the show, though, Browning was brown.
Yeah.
And that certainly was not the only instance in Master Force where there were vast disagreements between the deco of the toys and what they looked like in the show.
The 80s.
Yeah. Hey, so just to hype something for next week, I just loaded up my phone. I touched it. I haven't touched it in like over an hour. And I got a text from somebody named Diecast. He's going to have something amazing to show off, hopefully next week. Just want to put that out there. It's on topic. He spoiled me, and I am excited. Okay. I was looking. The reason I loaded up my phone is I was doing the pass key on eBay. So to log in on my computer, it prompts me on my phone so that I can log in, because I was going to have people take a drink, but now I can't. So, my favorite news item of the week. Hallmark Holiday Optimus Prime ornament. And it looks, I guess it looks like the reaction figure, more or less.
Yeah, pretty much.
But they left the head standard as like the regular Optimus Prime and put his hat and the
got a new hat
and the beard on it. I love it. I love it.
And the cool thing is it has almost as much articulation as the reaction figures.
Yeah. I buy these now, the Transformers Hallmark ornaments. So I guess I'm going to get this one. And this one has so much character to it. Most of them don't. They just look like the original toy, which is nice. But this is excellent.
I miss the ones that look like the original toys. I have all of those. But yeah, my sister always picks these up for me as part of my Christmas. And she actually sent me a message yesterday with a link saying, do you want this one? I was like, yeah, go ahead and order that one.
Yeah, that's a big yes.
Yeah, Chris is a Gold Crown member. And so hopefully there'll be something in that we can use as well.
Is that like free booze? How does that work? What is that?
It's the Burger King
rewards program, I think.
Yeah.
I look, this does, except for the white from the cab on the back of the legs, this is basically the same color scheme as the holiday transforming Holiday Optimus Prime as well. Mm. Now I want somebody to make a hat and beard to go with that.
Yeah, yeah. I guess these are just our like standardized Holiday Optimus Prime colors now, which is a weird thing to have that actually exists, but this is the reality we live in now. There are official Holiday Optimus Prime colors.
Hmm. Does it count as a drink if I bet on something? It doesn't, does it?
No.
Not until you win it.
Yeah, deferred drink until you win the auction.
Okay. Okay. That's it for the news. Let's jump to what we got this week. Don, you just tilted your head forward. Does that mean you want to go first?
Sure, why not? Let someone else go first. Let me get something set up here.
Okay. John.
I actually got nothing on topic this week, so I'm good.
Okay. Diecast.
I didn't get anything because all my packages are at home, but I am playing with the little core class Diaz figure, and it's a pretty decent core class figure.
Where'd you get it?
I've had it in my bag for a while and I forgot it was there.
Oh, I don't have it.
It's good. It's got waist articulation. It's got, you know, it's a really good core class figure. It's not a great transformer, I mean, because basically this backpack just unfolds and that's the jet. So it's not the best transformer, but I think it's a really decent core class figure. Like, I'm sure if they upscaled this, they could do a little bit more with, you know, where the arms and stuff go, but it doesn't really match the movie anyway, so this is kind of just matches it a little bit better that you can just pull the jet off and have, you know, Diaz by himself. So I like it. It's a good little toy.
Cool. Okay. Matt, did you get anything?
No toys for me this week. I had to put tires on my car, so
not fun.
Donnie, many hundreds now? Of dollars. Yeah.
Yeah. Had some stuff coming from Hasbro Pulse. Haven't had a chance to open it yet. I got Chromia.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
And I got Shard.
Hmm.
So I got my next kind of sort of Rock Lord. Was out and decided to get this with part of Target sale. Got the Scorponok figure. Decided to get one of those, at least have one for the shelf, because I found it on sale. And while I was at Target, I saw this on the shelf.
What is it,
Don? Studio Series 106 Optimus Primal.
Oh, the leader class.
Leader class.
Oh, nice.
Scanned it. Came up $31.49.
Very nice.
Okay.
And I got 30% off of that because of the sale.
Okay. So you got it for like $21.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, nice. So that was definitely a... And they had this and Blitzwing is all they had on the shelf. And so it's like... Because I just scanned it to see what it would, you know, what it would come up at. Because this is only the second one I've ever seen. The first one was at a GameStop. And so, yeah, it's like, okay, I'll take a $25, $60 liter, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had a chance to open that yet. Stop by a collectible store in Greensboro with some friends called Nerd Bombers. I've mentioned them once or twice before. And I was going to their clearance bin because it's right there at the front of the store when you go in. And I picked up Super 7 Alligator Con.
Tell me it was cheap.
I'm going to tell you it was cheap. And I got Rengar from Super 7 Ultimates, both for $50.
Okay, so that's good.
Not bad.
No, they're like $55 now, aren't they? $54.
Yeah, $55. Yeah, and I looked. They had Tarn. I don't have any real connection to Tarn. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want him. And that's really all. They just had multiples of. That's the only Rengar they had. But they had several Alligator Cons and several Tarns, so I decided to get those. The last thing I got this week, I wish I could show you, but it's a ghost.
Oh!
I got then the BWVS 08 2-pack.
Where's Waspinator?
Ghost Starscream and Waspinator.
So I haven't opened mine. What do you think in hand?
I've opened it, but I haven't had a chance to transform it because I wanted to take time on this clear one. The Waspinator, yeah. The Waspinator with this in this more premium paint really looks a lot better than I thought it would. I'm still not crazy about the feet, just kind of Dinobotting it under there, like you know the original Dinobot did. But it seems to be this paint scheme. It's not as egregious as on the regular Kingdom version. The gold is very nice. It's definitely the way the gold is supposed to be. So I'm a lot happier with this than I thought I would be.
Good.
Starscream looks great. I'm a sucker for translucent plastics. I always have been. Unfortunately, it's mostly Starscreams that get this treatment for obvious reasons. But, I mean, it's looks gorgeous when the light hits it. Just really looking forward to being able to take some time and, you know.
There need to be more lighted bases for translucent toys out there. You know, I have the little lighted bases that came with some of the Iron Man 2 Hall of Armor figure repacks, and I'd like something larger to go with, you know, clear plastic things here and there.
Of course, Diecast had that, like, last week or the week before for that Star Wars figure, and that was kind of a flop.
Oh, yeah. Didn't work that well.
Yeah. And that's all I've got on topic for this week.
Don, where'd you get that from?
I got that at
Surgaia,
because they had it new or used in stock for Hasbro Plus retail with free shipping. So I've got about 2 months early based on what the Pulse.
Very nice.
Wait, so, I mean, I got mine from Amazon Japan like a month ago.
Yeah. But
I'll have mine from Pulse in like 2 months.
Yeah, so that's why I got it. It was the exact with the yen. It was the exact same price and free shipping 2 months early.
I got mine a month ago.
Yeah, so as soon as I transform this and it's fine, I'm either going to cancel the one I have at Pulse, or if anyone needs it, I can keep it for them.
Or you'll keep it for yourself because you'll break the Starscream the first time you try to transform it.
I wasn't going to say that because I wasn't trying to jinx myself, but yes, that's a definite possibility.
Don, we're pulled onto it unless I break mine.
Don, someone has to speak this evil into the world, and unfortunately that someone is me. Or Matt. It could be Matt.
But that's all I got on topic this week.
Rob, did you get anything?
Yeah, I did, actually. I also got something from Surgaia on topic. I finally got Frenzy Red, which was decent-ish price. I also, beyond that, I ordered the Yolo Park 4-inch Optimus Prime kit from Amazon for like $13. For $13, that is a really nice posable little action figure, which is separated into parts to justify calling it a model kit. The only thing I about those that I have a small qualm with really is that they come with all these nice extra hands, which is great. I'm happy to have them, but you kind of end up stuck with some place to store them because once the figure is assembled, you can't really put it back into the plastic. So so I'm just going to have to, I'm probably just going to throw the extra hands in a box somewhere, but yeah, it's really nice. I feel like the Megatron was a little bit nicer of the two, but they're both really good little figures. I may have to break down and get some of the larger stuff from them at some point, because these are really nice. And Diecast has told me that the larger ones are even nicer, so I'm going to have to look into that. And then, thanks to tfradio.net/Discord, I got a lovely little bit of theft that I quite like. Apparently, on various resale websites we probably won't mention, they've been turning up new copies of the Cerebros from Legends Fortress Maximus. Right. Far as I can tell, does not have any electronics. It doesn't look like there's anything in the chest where the speaker should be, but it's the paint's fine. The joints are nice and firm. Now I have the Japanese version of Spike or Fortress or whatever you call that particular robot in Headmasters, and also finally a third of the Master Sword. So, and yeah, it was like, I think, $12-13 shipped. So, to have both versions of the Headmaster and, like I said, finally a piece of the sword for that price, I think that's entirely fair. Now, if we could get somebody to knock off the other two thirds of the sword, because the aftermarket on that is absurd, I would be really happy. But
absurd.
Yeah. But God, yeah, it's a yeah, decent figure and great price, and that's all I got that was on topic this week.
Cool. Chris, you said you didn't, right?
I have nothing.
Okay.
Next week.
So I've got quite a few things that I'll just work through. I got Gears. I got it from the CMD store. It's my favorite toy in a long time.
Really?
That is the correct opinion to have.
Yes. I love it. It's the right size. Transformation is just perfect. I love it. I wish that the chest piece wasn't packaged separately. Not that that's a problem. I don't know that it makes sense to me why it is. I guess because somebody could pull it off in the box.
Yes.
Okay.
It'll also make it easier to change out whenever they remold things for Swerve.
Okay.
Well, they could do that either way, since that, you know, at point of assembly. I think this is just so it doesn't go missing in the package.
Brian, just a quick question.
Yeah.
If Gears is, see, I was in the same boat. But I still think I like Brawn a little bit better.
They're both fantastic. You don't have to choose between them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he does, and he has to choose Gears.
Don, I'm not sure that I opened Brawn.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you should do that.
I'm pretty sure he's in storage. You should
really go dig it out and open it.
Yeah.
Or go buy another one.
I'll just enjoy it. I'll just enjoy it when, 6 months from now when I open it. Gears is fantastic. So I got Gears from CMD store. Nothing else came from CMD store, but I got an Amazon delivery. After opening Gears, I was on such a high. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. Let me open up like one of my all-time favorite characters and see how he is. And it's Silverbolt. And my heart sank.
Beast Wars has that effect.
I love Beast Wars. Hush. And and it's like it just misses the mark in so many ways. I didn't even bother transforming it. It just feels off. Like people who are like don't like the G1ification of like Prime Bulkhead, that's how I feel with this. There's just design choices that just do not work. I do not care for it. So because of that, I didn't open Cybertron Starscream. It's still in the box. And according to Chris, it sounds like I shouldn't. But a toy that I surprisingly really love, and I'm not saying this to get anybody's goat, I love Core Class Cheetor. I genuinely really like this toy. It is the best version of Beast Machines Cheetor, not counting Night Slash Cheetor, which is like a different deco and everything. As far as like this look, it is so much better than the Mega Class. It's better than Supreme Cheetor. It is really nice. And people should definitely pick it up for Elf on a Shelf Warmer, because it's a really nice little toy.
Just send it to Don, and he'll donate them. when Christmas comes.
If you like it that much, I'll bet Don knows where you can get six more.
Yeah. I got that. Also on topic, on eBay, I bought BotCon Astro Train.
Oh, that's pretty.
It is.
Yeah.
Armada Jetfire is my favorite Armada toy, and that deco is just.
It's not my favorite. It's up there, though. Megatron. There's in a world with Armada Megatron, I can't say that any.
And Tidal Wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not complete. It didn't include the minicons or the shield, but I'm okay with that. Oh, it has the gun. Oh, and I just realized it has the little piece of plastic holding the battery at bay.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. Are there electronics?
I don't remember.
Well, there's a battery. There's a stick.
If there's a battery in it, you would think there are.
The gun does have electronics in it. It's a two blast effects that changes when you add a minicon.
Okay. I wonder if this comes out. It feels me stuck. Okay. But I got that. And it was Jesse Wittenrich, who people may know. He included a Beastbox Wasp figure, which is actually really nice in there. So that was really cool. Last on topic thing I got was something I bought last week. Actually, I bought it this weekend. It got here very quickly. People know I collect certain things, Mint and Sold Box. I think this may complete my set of all Machine Wars stuff that's boxed.
Ooh.
I know it completes all the box Machine Wars figures at Sandstorm. I think all of my carded figures, I think I have sealed versions of all my carded figures. I may not. I need to go check to see if some of them just have the bubble slit. But if not, there's only a couple of figures that I need to have a complete sealed Machine Wars set.
Neat.
Yeah. So, and the box is nice.
Yeah.
So, one thing I started doing that I never did before because I don't know, either didn't think to or it just didn't feel right. If I have any interest in something, I'll watch it, not because I plan on buying it. I'll watch it in case the seller will give me a discount, which is, you know, why people do it. And the seller sent me a pretty nice discount on it. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy that. And there it is. And on topic, that's all I got this week. So I want to thank our patrons who also hopefully will continue doing what they're doing, who signed up at patreon.com/TFRadio. Patrons of Radio Free Cybertron get an ad-free version of RFC. You get it a day early at a higher bit rate. You get a weekly Patreon-exclusive pre-show podcast I need to post last week's. I typically post that like right before RFC, so I'm going to try to automate that. It's where I'm doing it over the weekend, but it comes out each week. If there's like something that I can, like, if unless it's really bad and I can't post it, like if somebody says something really off color, I'll do an unedited episode of RSC that I'll post to Patreon. I try to do two versions, one like the normal version, and then one if Don says something like wildly inappropriate that like, oh, am I going to get sued for this? That'll make Patreon. There goes my money. You get that podcast a week early at higher bit rate and all that. Patrons at the touch tier get to be on There Goes My Money. I think Chris is recording a new episode next week, you said?
We will, next Tuesday.
I'd love to be on that at some point. And starting in February, we started that in February, and we do it twice monthly. So yeah. I will get the episodes of Top 5 up. I have them. I'm just working through the edits. I'm going to post one big, giant, ginormous compendium to Patreon and to the website so that people can get it. So I'm still working on that. I have no time. But fortunately, Chris hosts and edits There Goes My Money.
Yeah, so the release schedule is wildly inconsistent, but the episodes do come out.
Yes. Touch patrons are mentioned on the show each week and listed at tfradio.net/credits. I'm going to do that now. I want to thank Kevin Dorsey, Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Bratton, who is yet to be on There Goes My Money.
He should fix that.
He needs to fix that. He was a staple, at least for a long time, on Hot 5. Emmett Stresovich, Hector Bones, Jay Klein Rye, Joey Russell, Here's Why It's Cool, Rabbits, Rick Mahurin, Ryan Boda, Sean Hamilton, Sean Williamson, Spider Bob, and Trickster. Thank you all so much. We love you. You can find all of our crap at tfradio.net going back way too many years. We're also on, actually, just go to tfradio.net. Like, you can subscribe to us on YouTube if you want to watch us live.
Mm-hmm.
But just as easy, go to tfradio.net/discord, and we post the link to YouTube, or somebody will, each week, and you can just stay connected that way. You really should be going to tfradio.net/discord to just stay connected to us. That's the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can find me personally at briankilby.com. I'm also on Blue Sky at kilby.bsky.social. I'm on Twitter at bkilby. One thing I've been doing on Twitter, I need to catch up on Blue Sky. I'm trying to post as I'm planning on moving again. So I've been packing up toys, and I'm trying, things that are interesting are all the sealed vintage, boxed or sealed vintage or carded sealed vintage toys. I'm snapping photos. I'm trying to post a picture every day, maybe a couple, of just some of the neat things that I'm finding that I have. Yeah, I'm going through and finding out that I have stuff because I've forgotten it. That's happened at least a couple times. So I'm posting that to Twitter. And if I have like any accompanying thoughts, like for example, Vinyl Tech Smokescreen came out in 2003, very at the very end of 2003. And I posted the pictures. I'll typically post a picture of the front of the box and the back of the box. But I found my contemporary thoughts of Smokescreen in January of 2004. And I will say my contemporary thoughts are pretty much thoughts that I have 20 years later. I'm not a fan of Vinyl Tech and alternators. I wasn't then. I'm not now. So at least I'm consistent.
Yeah.
But like I said, I have that on Twitter, and I'm going to work on having that on Blue Sky here over the next couple days. And then I'll just have a regular cadence of posting that. With that said, Rob Springer, he is at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter, at zonebase.org, and on Blue Sky at zonebase.bsky.social. Matt, how do people get a hold of you?
Melvar.bsky.social. That's with three L's and two R's. If I remember the password, I might actually log in and check it.
I get you. Blade said he'd like to see that Smokescreen deco again on a modern toy, though.
Yeah, no, I agree.
100% agree.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Great looking toy. I didn't like transforming it or touching it.
I remember, I guess this would be, you know, almost 15 years ago now, the Universe 2008 Prowl Mold Family, somebody actually customized that and did the alternator's paint job on that mold, that blue streak when it came out.
Oh, damn.
And, like, you know, it really does map to, like, a Datsun-style body pretty well. And, like, I love the blue streak. We have the silver streak in the Earthrise mold, but like I would love to see just add that racing deco onto that a little bit and give us, you know, modern alternators colors. Like, alternators had some cool ideas going on. It's just I wish they were better toys.
Absolutely. Chris, what about you? How do people get a hold of you?
Well, you can hear all kinds of my opinions on things, probably on our Discord, tfradio.net/discord. I'm on Blue Sky at ChrisRTXV. I have photos of toys on the internet at playwithphotography.com. And I also have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/chrislist, which has toys and old TV shows and toys and old TV shows. That's pretty much my wish list because I'm a very simple person.
Cool. Rob?
I'm on Blue Sky at robflails.bsky.social. I just talk about random crap there. I'm also on YouTube at youtube.com/flailthroughs. I am in my, sixth year, I think, of covering Gundam Battle Operation 2.
Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, and like 11th year of covering Gundam Battle Operation overall, possibly more. 11 sounds right. Let's go with that. I swear it feels like more. But yeah, if you like what I'm doing over there, patreon.com/flailthroughs. You can support it and request specific mobile suits and color schemes and stages possibly and the like. And I also have a wish list at tfradio.net/claylist where I think mine's mostly like video games and manga at this point.
Cool. Don?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR. If I can remember that I'm actually on Blue Sky now and remember to go over there, I can be reached at hmrc4evr.bluesky.social as well. I also have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/donlist.
Pretty cool. Diecast?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter or Blue Sky at Diecast2, Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast, and you can see my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews.
Cool. John?
That John D everywhere.
Very cool. That's it. We will see you next week. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.